Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is June 20th, 2005. This session is Church and Society in Namibia, a conversation with Pastor Vino Njiba of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Namibia. Pastor Njiba is spending his summer with us here at Holden. This is disc number 2005-02.
So, first of all, I'd like to appeal to each and everybody, if you have a good question, just hold on until I finish, so that we can end over the time. So, as you have read from the notice board that tonight our session will be about church and society in Namibia, I have highlighted some. I'm not going to tell you everything that is there. And for those who have questions, you are more than welcome. I appreciate your questions. So here we start. My name is Vino Njiba, and I'm from Namibia. In the village called Epembe, which is in Ondangwa town. Epembe is found in the northern Namibia, a small country. Namibia is just a small country with 1.8 million people. And I have three brothers. I have four sisters, and I live with my parents. I'm the pastor from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Namibia, Elsin. Elsin has got about 600,000 members, just within 130 parishes. And these parishes are divided into two parts. We call these dioceses. We have the Eastern Diocese and the Western Diocese. The Eastern Diocese has got 52 parishes, and the Western Diocese has got 78 parishes. So these dioceses have got two bishops. One bishop is leading the Western Diocese and the other one the Eastern Diocese. And my parish is found in the Eastern Diocese. So, my parish is very big because it has got 5,800 members, the parish which I'm serving. And I was just ordained last year. So I started working last year, August 1st. Its name is called Okankoro. Okankoro. The worship services. As I said, that this parish is large. However, it has got places which are far from one another. And this makes it difficult for people to come from those places, or for these people to come to church. So we tried to divide or to shorten these long distances. So the parishes now have got small places. We named them synagogues, but I think it's not the right word. These synagogues are 10. And these synagogues, I as a pastor, and I'm only the pastor there, I have to visit them. I have to conduct worship services there. And in order to go there, I need to made a monthly plan whereby each synagogue might be visited just once a month. And in order to go there, you need to prepare enough. These places are 10 to 20 kilometers, and you have to go by feet, just footing. So it takes some hours, maybe 3 to 4 hours, just walking. However, we have some congregants, the Good Samaritans, who have their cars, and sometimes maybe we can, and sometimes we can borrow their car to use it for church activities. But this again, it takes much money. You need to have money in order to use this car. And you know, in the place where I'm working, there is no tire. Only the road which are there is just in the sand, so which requires a lot of petrol. So we must prepare enough in order to go there. I have, in the parish, I will have the deacon, just one deacon, and the secretary, so who work together with me. Nevertheless, we have some lay preachers. These lay preachers can help the pastor to conduct the worship services, either at the church whenever I'm absent, or at those places that I have just mentioned. So, how do the people come to church? I have mentioned that we have 5,800 members, but for people to come to church, we don't have so many people coming to church. Nevertheless, during the colonial time, the church used to be full to its capacity. Maybe this was because the country was under colonialism. So, but now you only find some people, which I think also can happen, maybe might happen also in your church, I don't know. So, as we got independence, as Namibia got its independence, many people started not interested in church activities. More especially the developed people, educated people, people with money. So not all of them are interested in church activities. However, it is interesting that we have the third majority, women. Women are the people you find most in the Sunday worship services, participating in church activities here and there. How do I manage to lead the parish as a pastor? As I said, that we it's only me in the parish, in the deacon. So we tried to have some committees. And the committee that I want to mention here is the stewardship committee, the committee that deals with development in the parish. And this committee helps the pastor manage the congregation. If I come to the situation or the economic situation in the parish, financially, the parish is very low due to the fact that many congregants, they don't have a job. In other words, many Namibians are unemployed, and this unemployment or high unemployment in the country has also affected the church. So It's very difficult for the parish to fulfill or to come up with the financial year budget. Sometimes we fail, we totally fail to fulfill the financial year budget. And this leads to the pastor not to receive his, or the workers and the church not to receive their salaries. It can take place, I mean, it can happen for 2 to 3 months without a salary. Even if I say parish is very low financially, this development committee, the stewardship committee, has organized and has developed the parish here and there. Like we have clean water, which was not there. We have power, which was not there. We have the parish house, which was not there. And we have the telephone. So that is like, we just got this last year, the telephone, when I came in. The others, I found them already there. So, unfortunately, we do not have computers. You know, when I was at the seminary, I was very much used to the computer. And I thought maybe when I go back to the, I mean, when I go to the parish, I will use the computer. We don't have that one. We have to write everything in the books. We have to record everything just here, writing by hand. So those are some points that I have mentioned about the parish. The committee that I have just mentioned works with visions. They plan. And this year, before I come here, they sat and discussed about the financial budget in 5 years to come. They proposed some things which they think maybe can help the parish can help the parish financially get money. They proposed to construct an assembly hall, which they think that maybe this assembly hall will be divided. One room will be used to sell some cool drinks, some snacks, and so on, so that maybe the we can get some money. They proposed also that perhaps we can construct a house, a kind of flat, whereby people will rent it. I think everybody can understand me. So they will rent this house, and they will pay some money to the parish. Unfortunately, they don't have any resource to get this money. They still don't know what they will do in order to get this money, but they have proposed this in order to assist the parish financially. So the difficulties we have there, we have congregants who are working, but not so many. They are not really interested in church activities, only a few, as I said. So this makes it difficult for the parish. Coming to other churches, we have choirs that can sing, which can sing during the worship service. The women choir, and the other individual choirs. For example, I have one, Kumoyo Manje Penduka. That's the name of the choir. We have also Sunday school. I think everybody understands me. Sunday school, whereby all the kids come together, they are taught according to their level, and I think this is the way to strengthen their faith. So because a child, when he was baptized, he has to go through Sunday school class until she is grown up. And then if she is 15 years old, she goes under the what you call confirmation class. So the confirmation class is a way, I don't know if it happens also in your church, a person, if you are confirmed, then you can receive her communion. Then you can participate and make decisions in church activities in the parish. I think that you can understand me there. This is what I said about the choirs. Then I'm coming to other issues. And these are the issues that are facing church in Namibia as a whole, the burning issues. We have poverty and the unemployment. It's very high in Namibia. And this is as a result of unemployment and poverty. You find many Namibians are not educated. Many young Namibians do not go to school, more especially after finishing grade 10 and grade 12. Or sometimes, if a learner failed grade 10, it will be difficult for many of them to improve his grades so that she can go to the next grade. Well, the same applies to grade 12. This, I mean, I think leads to many people to be unemployed, mostly the young people. The next point that face Namibia as a burning issue is HIV and AIDS. I can see that here in the United States, everything is quite okay. I have been here now for a month, but I haven't anybody died or anybody sick or anything like that. But when I was at home, or when I'm at home, each and every day, you have to be told, you as a pastor, to go and bury somebody, die. What was the cause? HIV and AIDS. So we have many people, many congregants are infected by HIV and AIDS.
It would be unfair to say that the whole of the United States has not experienced the trauma of HIV and AIDS. There are communities and hospitals and cities that have been very severely affected.
Okay. But I think here is better than Namibia. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Medical care is a lot advanced here.
Okay. So as a result of HIV and AIDS, we find ourselves with many orphans, young people, kids without their parents. They live in their homes by themselves. So this makes the government of Namibia to use a lot of money to help these people living with HIV and AIDS and help the orphans. How do they help the orphans? They give some money to those kids to pay for their education, as from grade 1 to 12. They also try to give them some food and some blankets. It's really hard. We have many, many orphans in Namibia. I was at one workshop. They talk of thousands of Namibian orphans. So it's really wonderful. And as a church, the church has also contributed, even if it can't help financially. We have some organizations, some projects. Like my church has got a project called Elsin AIDS Action. This project He's got trained some pastors, his counselors, to work just in the community within the people, to assist people who live with HIV and AIDS, to counsel them, and to help all people how to prevent themselves from such pandemic disease. And this project is not the only one. We have many of them. I can't mention here, but I can only mention about AIDS and AIDS Action, doing some counselors, and telling people to go to the hospitals for HIV tests, because this enables the government to see how many people need help, because currently there is this drugs. Is it hydrovirus? How do you call it? The drug that helps people to prolong their life, mm-hmm. but this yeah. that is not a cure to the disease.
There are many.
Yeah, that is expensive, and a lot of money is used just for that drug. So we get these people by doing these programs. You go in the village, go in the parish, in the community there, talking to the people. Once you talk enough, once you counsel them, they come to you. I'm HIV positive. By such a way, you can help them. You help them to go to the hospital and be tested and given some drugs to prolong their life. And also to help those pregnant women, you know.
To prevent it from going into
yeah.
the child.
Yes. So we have such a kind of projects. And the people who are already infected by this pandemic disease are the young people. The young people who we think they are the people to develop the country, the educated people. You can see a person was just graduated from the university and is HIV positive. So that's really, very worse in the country. People like from age 18 through 37 or 39, approximately. Those are the people you find, in most cases, infected with HIV and AIDS. And as a result of HIV and AIDS, death rate is more high. Some people are committing suicide. Once he or she realizes that I'm HIV positive, he commits suicide. So those kind of things.
What's the age again? The age range?
Mostly it's from age 18 to 37 or 39, approximately.
What's the percentage? Is it like how many out of every 10 or every?
Maybe,
it's really high, isn't it?
Yeah, I can say maybe 40% are the people, are the youth infected with HIV and AIDS. 40? Yeah, 40%. And 25, something like that. Are the elder people dying with HIV and AIDS. And the rest, are the very, very young people who were born with HIV and AIDS because of their parents. I don't know if you can follow me. So, I close that chapter, then I come to another one. Violence. Even if our country is free, we have some violence in Namibia. And I can say Namibia is one of the countries which violence is most high. More especially, violence against women and children. You know, women in Namibia are the victims. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know really what's wrong there. People are raping young children, a child of 6 months or 6 years.
Is,
don't know what's wrong.
Is that in connection with some of the myths and beliefs about?
I think so, and I think the
mention of sexual disease.
Yeah, and I think the cause of this, violence is because of HIV and AIDS. People are telling, others lies, that in order to get cure of this disease, you have to see somebody like this. Mm-hmm. And kids are raped. And the other thing, robbery is more high, more especially in town. If you go to the town, you must be very careful, especially in those big towns. We have many sorts of robbers. The houses are broken. I mean, they broke into a house. They steal cars. They kill people just because of economy. And I think all this happens just because we have so many people unemployed, more especially the young people. So, as I have explained, that the young people from grade 10 and grade 12, you find them in the streets, in the cities, looking for the job. And when you go to them, like the broadcasting, they go to them and ask some questions. They say, yeah, this is the way of surviving. I'm trying to survive. How can I survive? I don't have job, I don't have work, so I have to. That's the way I can survive. So these are the points that I have just mentioned. And highlighted, if you have got some questions, perhaps you can ask whatever I say or whatever I haven't said. Okay.
You've been here a month?
Yes.
And how does your congregation, your parish, survive without you?
Oh, thank you. I have the deacon. I left the congregation in the hands of the deacon. There is also a retired pastor. He can help in case of Holy Communion and baptism. Mm. So I think in connection, in relation to the worship services, these lay preachers, there are some who are assigned to conduct the worship service. I think they will do it in such a way.
Maybe you answered this before I came in, but how does the Lutheran Church of Namibia see your time here as affecting the Lutheran Church in Namibia and your people?
You know, if I get the question right, so they sent me here, and the main aim is to compare the way of worship, the belief, the traditions, the cultures, and I think this is important. How do the people worship in the U.S.? How do they, their cultures like? And even this issue of HIV and AIDS, how do they prevent themselves? So they think it is very important for us to combine with the Lutheran churches in the U.S. We learn also. And I think, like you asked those questions, we could also see what is happening there. In our sister church in Namibia. So these are the main points, maybe.
So will you get to spend time in other locations besides Holden? Like, will you get to go into Seattle and visit with the hospitals where they've, seen quite, I don't know about Seattle, but I know that some inner cities have experienced a lot of work with.
Yeah, all right. When we were in Chicago, we were told that some of the people who will come there to your camps would like to invite you to go to their churches. So I think I'm free to go and visit some places, but only that maybe this will depend on the on the invitation. I mean, the problem to me is that I don't know anybody there. I don't know how will I go there. But if somebody is willing to take me there, I think it's possible. I think it's possible. And I think I would also experience many things there. I also willing to do that. I don't know how it's happening.
Are you doing any fundraising while you're here then, so that people can
contribute to your?
I'm not doing any fundraising because before we came here, we were given this paper we signed that we are not allowed to ask for for any donation or something like that. Yeah, it's difficult for me. But I think for the people who feel like donating, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
So for me to ask people to assist my church or something, it's really difficult. Mm. So, but for anybody who's, I mean, volunteering himself or herself, oh, that is not a problem. Mm. I think so. There was this.
How do people make a living in your area? What kind of economic activity is there?
The many Namibians are just farmers. When I'm talking of farmers, I mean that, for instance, for example, I'm living here. I have a plot where I can cultivate food like wheat, millets, some vegetables, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the way we survive. And sometimes you have to, if you produce much like mahangu, wheat, and you have to sell some of them, and then you get some money. And some people have cattle, goats, sheep, and so on. So this is how they, most of them survive. But for those who are jobs, yeah, that's all for them. They can go to the shops and buy meals and buy everything they need. So, but many Namibians are just starting to survive by having their fields or plots where they can cultivate and have some food.
And yes. It's not growing season there now, right? So you're okay coming here from that standpoint?
Excuse me?
It's the dry season there now, right?
Yes, currently it's winter now.
Yeah.
And everything is, I mean, it's harvesting time now, which means now they have just, I mean, harvested.
Oh.
And they, you know, the Namibians have got bands. You understand when I'm saying bands? Is it bands or bands? Where they store wheat, they can stay there for 2 or 3 months, maybe 3 years. People can take food there to eat. Yes. The next is elk. Yeah, and then.
When you say unemployed, your parish, are those people? Do those people have any plot? Any really doing any agriculture themselves?
You mean the people in the parish?
The people that you said that are without jobs, are those people not farmers?
Mm-hmm.
They are not farmers, or are they farmers?
Yeah, many of them are farmers.
Okay.
And even if I say they are farmers, sometimes this depends on the rain season. If the rain is well raining, then you expect to have enough. And if it doesn't rain, then you are expecting hunger. It's very difficult. Yeah, it's very difficult. Some leaves, that's depending on others. Because here and there, men are making some food to eat. Yeah, that's how. And the answer your question.
I have one more question. To follow up Brent's question, I thought that what he might be asking was that what sort of jobs are people working? When you say people have jobs,
some have jobs, like what I said.
Like where? What kind of businesses?
Yeah, some are teachers, some are nurses, some are business. Am I right?
Well,
I know there are diamond mines in Namibia.
Yeah.
That's in your part.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I don't know if I really get the question.
What?
Is the mining industry doing well these days, or are some mines have closed down?
Yeah, yes, it's doing well because we have diamonds, we have fish, we have copper.
But does the money from the mining industry come back into the country?
It is used within the country. different sections. Some of the money is contributed to the aid, some different departments.
So the baby is 20 years old?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's now, after independence, it's now 15 years old after independence.
And so a lot of money, and you're still building an infrastructure, you're still building.
Yes, we are still building. Yes, that's where. That's where we are trying to build here and there. And I think if we did not have this HIV/AIDS, then we, I can say, maybe it's going well. But the fact is that people who are enjoying the Namibia, the well-being of Namibia, are those who got chances of being educated. They really enjoy it. They have a chance to take their kids to the high schools, to the universities, to the colleges, and so on. But for those who are unemployed, it's difficult for them to take their kids there.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm interested in some of the educational programs that are provided for young people who are under the age of 18 around HIV and AIDS prevention. You had indicated that your church has some programs. Can you be a little bit specific and describe some of that?
You know, the thing is with Elson AIDS Action, what does Elson do in this case? It's just to help people how to prevent themselves about this disease. So they make some workshops. And these workshops, a person to go there, he needs a transport. So they receive some money from different countries. I know USA is one of those countries. It supports, much on, and contributes much on HIV and AIDS, projects and programs. So they only, talk to the people, help them, and for those who cannot, assist themselves, they try to give them supports here and there. You know, I don't know if I really pointing
that
to
you. But the you had indicated that there's 40% of those between the ages of 18 and 37 are HIV and AIDS, have AIDS or HIV positive.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern is prevention on the lower end in terms of age, children, and programs that educate them. So some of those workshops, are they targeting the younger ages?
Yes. Everybody, education there about AIDS is taught each and everybody. The education is just open to each and everybody. People are told to be, to avoid sexual contacts, to avoid sexual contacts without protection and so on. So these are the ways. We have we have different kinds of groups. Maybe you invite them, you tell them, you teach them by showing them this is what happened. You need to be faithful. You need to be abstain from sex, and if you can't use condoms in those kinds of those kinds of things. That's how we try to help the people. Did I answer?
We.
Okay. Then Joss, this one, and you will come. You are there. Okay. Joss.
It's along the same lines.
Right.
These programs aren't just in the schools, are they? It's separate. Is there like a sexual education program or anything?
Yeah.
In the church.
Oh, it's in the church.
I'm asking. Is the church involved in that type of sex education?
Yes. It is involved, and it does this. In calling people together. When people come together, somebody's responsible to teach the people what's really happening, what you should do in order to protect yourself, in order to avoid this. So the church is also contributing in this fact.
Yeah, right now, the ELCA and the World Health Organization are providing, they're bringing people from Namibia and other African countries, and they're educating them in some of the universities in the United States, especially like Iowa, University of Iowa, and they're creating special programs, the universities are, to address those issues, it's a kind of up and beginning to run, and they're now, probably this year, we're starting to see returning to African countries, specifically addressing those issues.
That's right. We also have, I think if I'm not mistaken, the opening facet of HIV and AIDS, different facet for HIV and AIDS, just people studying for HIV and AIDS. So you are right. And I think this is to help maybe people to reduce the infection in the country. Because maybe people don't understand, or maybe the way we tell them, we teach them is not the right way. That's why trying by all means. So to help people, to reduce this infection.
Mine was related, and I think you mostly answered it now.
Okay.
But I was wondering, in the schools, if there is education in the schools, as well as what the church is providing. Yes. My very limited experience in Namibia, as you know, in 1992, teaching at a school, at that time, it was too much of a shame to be thought to have it, and so no one talked about it, and even people who were found to be HIV were perhaps not told that they were. Has that situation changed?
Let
it open and education in the schools also?
Well, yeah, about education, there are sessions on sexual behaviors, but I think this is not enough. And I think these projects that I have mentioned, like the church program and the other organizations, they also take chances to visit schools. They come specifically for just to teach people about HIV and AIDS, how to prevent themselves. And we have a lot of information, how to prevent, how we were affected, and so on. People in schools, they also try. But I think it's not so much enough, but these people, or these organizations that I just mentioned, the church also have got sometimes chances to go to visit schools and talk about HIV and AIDS. But I think it is still not enough, because people, they are still ashamed. Talking of HIV and AIDS or talking about sexual, it's kind of still, and that is why maybe the infection is still high.
I don't have very much information. I wish I had a better memory, but we had a person speak from Namibia at our church recently who goes in and takes care of finding places for the orphans and works with orphans, and also in that process they were educating people about AIDS. They were training people, individuals, to go out and talk in different communities, and I know they had a big push in that particular way.
Yeah, you just, remind me one thing that I have left. In my parish, we have also some people, we call them assistant deacons. Many of them, these people are the people who can find many people in the community. Because I, as a pastor, I don't know many people. You know, I started working in the parish. I don't know many people, I don't know many places. These assistant deacons, they work in the community. They visit people, telling, and they, after visiting them, they see and they tell the pastor, here there are people sick, and they cancel them because we train them. As you said, that there are people who are trained to go in the community and do this job. So we train some assistant deacons to work in the community to help them. And mostly to tell them that in order to know your HIV status, it's better to go to the hospital and be tested. That's good, and you know where you live, where
so that you can prevent yourself if you are if you are not infected. So we have also such people. And we have within the church itself, we have the coordinators, the directors, and those people are the people who come to train also these assistant deacons in the parishes. So as you have explained. So really the both the government and the church is really trying to prevent this, it's trying to teach people here and there. Yes.
Is the Namibian government having any success in some of the other areas besides HIV/AIDS, crime and poverty, and are they able to make any gains in terms of, you know, those challenges, reducing the amount of crime and reducing homelessness and poverty in the country?
Yes. More especially, the government is trying to put more emphasis on the youth to set up their own projects. The government is teaching people to set up their own projects, like weaving, working for people. Like we have, like during the time of, what can I say, harvesting time and cultivating time, there are different groups of youth. They work for the people in the community. Those people in the community, they have to give some money, which the group asks. And this group is now by the government. The government is paying some, just a little money to these groups. So it's a kind of reducing those kind of criminals and so on, to help the youth being involved, having their own projects. So, and many others also. Yeah. Yes.
In your Namibian church, you talked about deacons and assistant deacons. Mm-hmm. Do women have any of these roles? Can women help with these things?
Deacons? Yeah, mm-hmm. Like as I said, the deacons are what I'm talking about. Maybe if they are 10, 8 of them must be women. Okay. And 12 of them just men. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So it seems that Namibia women, they are really active from both sides. Mm-hmm. Even in the government leadership, the ministers are women, many of them. You know, we just elected the new president this year in March 21st. And the parliament, the government wants the majority of the parliament to be the women in the leadership positions. Yeah. Yes.
You said a new president. Is that a successor to Sam Nujoma?
Yes.
Oh, and what's the name of the new one?
Lucas Pohamba. If you can put your Pohamba.
Is he also from your part of Namibia?
Yes. He's also a Nujoma speaking person. Oh. He was very close to Sam Nujoma. He is also from the ruling party.
So he is Swaho?
Yes. Yeah. We only have 6 minutes to six.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Are there ways in which the church and Christians who are interested in your work in Namibia can partner with you and be supportive?
Some assistant churches, what is your question again?
How can Christians in the United States be supportive to your work in Namibia?
Okay. You know, these are the ways I have experience. I started meeting new people here, explaining what is going on in my church. The people started making up a communication. They get my address, they write to me, they assist me here and there, or they assist our church here and there. And that's how it happens. We have also people assisting our church as a world church, Chelsea. People from Germany, people from Finland, they also assist our church in that way. And for the parishes individual, I think that this was the only way they get their partnership, if I understood your question. Yeah, so it's so the only main way.
So there could be a sister parish relationship?
Excuse?
Could there be a sister parish relationship, two congregations?
Yes. Yeah, it's possible. Yes.
Aren't there some ELCA synods here in the United States who are directly linked to you in Namibia? I don't know which ones. I don't know if you're familiar with the ELCA system, but each synod here is linked to, for instance, ours in Minnesota has a direct link to Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are other synods that have a direct link, and within those synods, and they work on programs of sister parishes. And so.
Yeah, I think they also, I think that is maybe, I don't know, but those people who invite us, like the people in Chicago who are leading these programs, they know everything, how it happens, I mean, be a sister church to a certain parish. But for individual parishes, I think this is the only way. You meet the people from a certain church, you give them your address. They take your address there, or they take the story to their parish. And then in later, they write to you. They become your partnership. And they inform also, maybe, I don't know if they inform the head office, or they don't know if they inform the church. In that way, can be helped. Okay, before you, okay, the last question, I want to show you the map.
Go ahead. That's fine.
All right.
I was just going to ask, in the program that you are under, mm-hmm. have pastors come from many different countries? Was that the idea?
Yes. From Elsin, we are two.
Okay.
And my colleague went to another different camp here in the United States, but I don't know where. From ERCRN,
yes.
Elsin, also two. They also deported to different places here in the U.S. Yeah. So I just did the mistake when I introduced.
We have people from Tacoma who have gone.
Yeah. So I just introduced myself, but I was just talking, and I heard that people in the U.S., they like to be shown. They like to see.
Yeah.
This is Africa. This is Africa. Namibia is just here on the Atlantic Ocean. Can you see here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's where I am. I'm just here in the north. And this is Namibia map, which is the capital city. And I live down here in the north. So it's Epembe, where I was born. This is Okaforo, where I'm working. So I have to fly, I have to travel from the north this way to Windhoek, to the airport here. And then I have to fly from Namibia to South Africa. That's what is here. And from South Africa, crossing again Africa to Europe. From Europe, mm-hmm. USA.
Where did you go to seminary?
I went to the seminary in Windhoek. Windhoek is just here.
Oh.
Paulino. It's called Paulino Seminary. United Lutheran Theological Seminary. Because we have first. It was established for two churches, Elsin and Elsren. That's why we call it United Lutheran Theological Seminary. But we also have some members from other churches. And we also have some members from outside the country, people from Botswana, people from Germany. They also study there. Yeah. And I think my last day when I was there, we had a student from U.S. who was studying what was the subject? African theology. It's Grant. Is it Grant? Yes. It's Grant. He was from U.S. I don't know which state he came from. Mm-hmm. Thank you, people. The time is going.